Peter started his letters with two long sentences, and we have studied the first two long sentences. In verses 3 through 5, he gives a list of reasons to bless God. Blessed be God, verse 3 begins. Eulogize is the original word, to say blessings to God. Then a list. Blessed be God. Say good things about him because he's given great mercy. New birth. Hope in life from the risen Jesus. He rose from heaven and he will give us an inheritance that's protected, kept, guarded. Like the line on the board outside of church where people drive by. So, God be eulogized for he's given us all kinds of good things. The sentence, second sentence, tells about trials and troubles. And it says they are, number one, for a time, won't be eternal. Number two, they are necessary. Number three, they are distressing. And number four, they are of various or many different kinds. We now get to the big long sentence again, and we already studied it 2 weeks ago a little bit, but I had more to say about it. And it is verses 10 through 12. And in verses 10 through 12, it did talk about prophecy, and we did mention about prophecy, but I have some more things to say. Verses 10 through 12, sentence number 3, big long one. As to this salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating and predicting the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things which now have been announced to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit, sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look. Peter had made reference to salvation. He said in verse 9, this salvation is eternal. In verse 5, he said it was kept or protected. In verse 10, the Old Testament prophets wanted to know more about this salvation. They knew that Jesus would suffer. They knew that Jesus would have glory. But they didn't tell them everything in the Old Testament about what his salvation would do. For example, people did not know about the church in the Old Testament. They did not know about the church age. They did not know that the apostles would start the new church and it would go on for thousands of years. It has been said the Old Testament prophets could see two mountaintops, but not the valley in between them. They could see Mount Calvary, because the Old Testament said the Messiah would suffer and die. They could see Mount Zion, the Messiah would be king. Kind of hard to put them together at the same time. He would suffer and die and be king. They could see the mountaintops, but not in between. Old Testament prophets wanted to know more. In the book of Daniel, Daniel wanted to know more. In Daniel 12, verse 6, Lord, what shall be the end of these things? Answer, verse 9 of chapter 12, go your way, Daniel. These words are sealed. That would be a scroll that's sealed. We would say the book is closed. The book is sealed. The book is closed until a time of the end. They did not know what all would go on in the church age. Jesus would suffer. Jesus would rule. Nothing in between. They did not know about it. But the New Testament was given to Peter's readers. They never saw Jesus, but they heard the Holy Spirit's teaching about Jesus and actually knew a little bit more than the Old Testament prophets. Paul said the same thing about new revelation, new truths. They had been mysteries in the Old Testament. Colossians 1:25, the mystery which has been hidden from generations for you. In other words, they didn't know it back in Old Testament times, but Paul's readers and now us, we know more. Ephesians 3:5 refers to a mystery which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men as it is now revealed to you. So we're in the same situation as Peter's readers. We have new truths. We actually know more than the Old Testament prophets. It has been revealed. We know more than Elijah did before he went to heaven. We know more than Daniel and Isaiah and Jeremiah. We know more than they did. It has been revealed. The original word is apocalypse, to take away the hidden part, take away the drapery, take away and the apocalypse, and we have learned, and we have learned by the Holy Spirit. I'd like to read some more verses about the Old Testament being written by the Holy Spirit. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says it is inspired, but that word is God breathed, and breathed is pneuma, and spirit is pneuma. So the Holy Spirit inspired the New Testament, 2 Timothy 3:16. In the Old Testament, 2 Samuel 23:2, the Holy Spirit spoke by me, wrote David, to Isaiah, Isaiah 59:21, my spirit that is upon you, my words that I have put in your mouth. Jeremiah 1:9, he said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. Jesus, about the Old Testament, Mark 12:26, for David himself said by the Holy Spirit. And we read 2 weeks ago, 2 Peter 1:21, talking about the prophecy of Scripture was moved by the Holy Spirit. Moved is a picture of the wind blowing the sails, taking the boat wherever it should go on the water. But the Bible is like the Holy Spirit breathing and moving in the direction that he wanted. The main point of this section is the Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. There is a second thought here, is that the Holy Spirit is also the Spirit of Christ. So it talks about the Holy Spirit equals the Spirit of Christ. In other words, there's two different persons, but they are all one. And we do have the Trinity in 1 Peter chapter 1. It started, verse 3, blessed be the Father. And then we read here in verse 11, the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of Christ. So you have Father, Spirit, Christ, a little bit different order, but you have the Trinity. There are about 14 references in the Bible that have Father, Son, and Spirit, usually in that order. There are about 14 of them. They are listed in Not by Bread Alone. It's page 20 in the edition that I looked up. So right around in there, if you want to look up Trinitarian verses, they'll be around page 20. Another truth here, just kind of mentioned at the end, is angels are watching. Angels are watching for fulfilled prophecy in the life of Christ, but angels are also watching the church. So I always think of where two or three are gathered, there I am present. Like when we're having communion, where two or three are gathered, Jesus says, I am present. But it also says angels are watching. We'll have to believe that from the Bible. We can't see it, but that's what it says here at the close of verse 12. And also 1 Corinthians 4:9, that we are a spectacle of the world, both humans and angels, a spectacle to the world. So new truths. Now we're going to have new hope, and that will continue. And he's saying we have new hope and we can be holy. There are going to be motivations to be holy. And verse 13, we'll look at first. What motivation to be holy? Jesus is coming back. That's verse 13 alone. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober mentally. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation, second coming of Jesus. We have to get ready for action. The King James has literal Greek. It's really kind of odd. Gird up your loins. Gird up the loins of your minds. That is what it actually says in Greek. That is the literal translation. It would make no sense to modern readers. The literal translation, lift your robe up and get ready to run. Get ready to work. Get ready for action. But fortunately, we wear pants now, the men do, and don't wear robes. So in their days, if they wanted to do something, you'd have to pull up that robe and get ready to go to work. That's the literal Peter words here. Lift up that robe, get ready to go to work, and get ready to do something, tie it under your belt, do some work, get ready for action. Also keep sober, but this is not talking about alcoholism. Keep sober in your mind. Keep thinking clearly. Keep thinking about what the Bible teaches about the worldview. Keep thinking about what is right. Keep thinking about what is true. We can reverse what the world thinks about, and they have what we would say is a clouded mind. They're not clear in their thinking. One's outlook on life determines one's outcome. Thinking about the Bible's worldview would mean get something done. Do something. Have a good outcome with your life. Have a sober perspective. Look up in hope. Look up in hope, Jesus is coming. New American Standard and NIV say, look up fully. That's the quality of it. King James would have, look up to the final end. And that's the timing of it. So look up fully and also look up all of this lifetime. It can mean both. Get your minds ready for action. Keep clear thinking, hope fully to the full end, and hope totally. Take some action, Jesus is going to come. That's all together, but I separate it. Take some action because Jesus is coming. Take some action now because children like to be like their spiritual father. That's verses 14 and 15. So take action. Jesus is coming. Take action because children like to be like their father. Verses 14 and 15. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance, but be like the Holy One who called you. Be holy yourselves also in all your behavior. Take some action, Jesus will come. Take some action because children like to become like their parents. And in reference to God the Father, God's children like to become Him. The teaching is positive. Negative is the unsaved people will be conformed to this world. Conformed, schematic, diagram to this world. It also says they are ignorant. Another ignorant reference. The original word is agnostic. Agnostic actually means you don't know anything. So that's always quite a word reference to people that saying they're agnostic. It means they're ignorant. They don't know anything. Don't be conformed to the world, Romans 12:2 also, but be transformed, metamorphosis, be different, be like the Holy One in verse 15. Holy means separate. Now, God is separate in abilities, but he's separate from sin. We can't be like God in abilities, but be more and more like God, separate, holy from sin. We can't be totally like him, but we can go in that direction. Go in that direction in verse 16 now is because the Bible teaches it. Go in that direction, verse 13, Jesus is coming. Go in that direction, verses 14 and 15, because you want to be like Father. Go in that direction, verse 16, because the Bible commands it. Verse 16. Because it is written, we did this for our scripture reading in Leviticus, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It is written, the Bible is coming later. It will last forever when we get to verse 25. Peter is quoting Leviticus, and it's actually four times. Now, we've just quoted it once, and when we did our scripture reading, we just read it once, but Leviticus actually says four times, be holy, for I am holy. Salvation is without trying. Salvation is without works, but Christian living, the command is, be like God. Now, that can't be a higher standard. We can't do it fully, but we can go in that direction. Be like God. And things in the Old Testament sometimes are not repeated in the New Testament, like no temple and no animal sacrifice, but be ye holy is definitely repeated here, 1 Peter, Old Testament, Leviticus, carrying on over, and all the top commandments carry on over. It is written, and more about the Bible teaching when we get to verse 23. Take some action, Jesus is coming. Take some action, children like to be like their father. Take some action, it is written. Take some action now because God is going to evaluate. And then the last part will be take some action because Jesus did. Verse 17, God is going to evaluate. And if you address as Father, the one who impartially judges according to each man's work, conduct yourselves in the fear of the Lord in the time of your stay on earth. Believers are already okay before God the judge. There is no condemnation. There will be no death penalty before God the judge. But God becomes Father now, and God will evaluate a person's works. God can chastise, we would say God can discipline or spank. Not the death penalty, but God can discipline. Also, God will evaluate the level of holiness. Becoming more and more like God, can't get there fully, but are we becoming more and more like God, and God will evaluate it. To live in fear now is not to live that the judge will punish, but to live in fear, respect the Father. He's going to evaluate. Also, we need to go that direction because Jesus suffered a lot for us. verses 18 through 21. Knowing that you are redeemed with not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. For he was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but has appeared in these last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We talked about foreknowledge. God foreknows every believer who will ever believe. He foreknows those who will never believe. He also foreknew in eternity past what his son would do to pay for our sins on the cross. His son was sinless, unblemished. His son paid for the redemption. Redemption is paying a price to set a prisoner free or set a slave free. All have been paid for, but not all wanted to be freed. It's kind of like Jesus paid the price for everybody on earth. He bought them, he owns them, but they're still in jail. It's like the jailhouse is open, the door is open. You can go free if you trust in Jesus as Savior. Believers are set free. Unbelievers are not set free. God foreknew his plan for salvation to all who would ever believe. God foreknew Jesus' plan. He will come, so take action. Become like the Father, take action. Do what is written in the Bible, take action. God will judge us for rewards. Take some action. Jesus paid a lot. Take some action. Verse 21 closed with the words faith and hope. And they go together, faith, hope, and love. Love is put in the final section of 1 Peter 1. Give it more attention in another sentence. Faith and hope, verse 21. Verse 22, love. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. For you have been born again, not of a seed which is perishable, but imperishable. That is, through the living and enduring word of God. For all flesh is like grass, all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls off, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which was preached to you. Purified, cleansed. 1 Corinthians 6:11, you have been washed. Because we have been washed, we can be more like Jesus. Not totally, but more like Jesus. And what was he like? Faith, hope, and love. Here is sincere love. Sincere, again, is without wax. They would have jars, they would have bottles. If they leaked, they would put wax on them. And while it was cold, the wax would hold. But if they warmed up the jar, the wax would leak. So when they said sincere, they would mean we are real bottles, real jars. We're not fake. We're not patched up. Have sincere love. Do what is right. Do what is best for others. That's kind of what love is. Make the choice to do what is best for others. You are born again. That's what he told Nicodemus. You could be born of the Holy Spirit. Also born of the Word of God, which is being stressed here. The Holy Spirit is the author of the Bible. So to say born of the Holy Spirit equals being born of the Word of God. The Word of God is forever. Don't need to change it. There aren't any mistakes in it. It has not been changed. It will never need to be changed. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. So we have take action, get ready to work. Take action, Jesus will return. Take action, children like to be like their father. Take action, it is written to be holy. Take action, God will evaluate you and give rewards. Take action because Jesus did. Be sincere. Don't be a fake. Don't look like a fake. The Bible's seed will give life. Unlike the seeds out in the fields, the Bible seed gives eternal life. We will look at chapter 2 next time. We'll have to look up Abraham Lincoln, because it kind of sounds like with malice for none. And that's what will be coming next time. The musician.